If you ever use the contact form on Mixergy.com, then you've used a WooFoo form. I use WooFoo forms and surveys all over my website because they're easy for you to use to interact with me, and they're easy for me to keep track of all the feedback that I get. Try WooFoo.com, embeddable forms and surveys that you can add to your website right now. My second sponsor is Grasshopper, and I'm actually traveling through South America right now. I'm going to be in Patagonia in a couple of weeks. I don't know where I'll be a month from now, but I do know that no matter where I am, you'll be able to reach me by phone because I have a grasshopper.com phone number. Grasshopper makes a virtual phone system that you can manage from anywhere and will reach you no matter where you are in the world. Finally, my third sponsor is Shopify, and I set up a store with Shopify.com within minutes, and I had everything that I needed to get up and running, including inventory management, the ability to take payments, the ability to set up a store and design it beautifully. All that can be yours too if you go to Shopify.com and set it up for yourself. Here's the program. Hey everyone, it's Andrew Warner, founder of Mixergy.com, home of the ambitious upstart, and we've got a new format here because I've got not one guest, but three guests here today, and the new format is driving me crazy because I thought I was recording a minute ago, and I wasn't, and I'm really grateful to these three founders for staying with me and doing the program a second time here. I've got with me the founders of three Y Combinator companies, and the reason I invited them here is because when I interviewed the founder of Y Combinator, Paul Graham, and I asked him about how he funded these startups, how he picks the startups that he funds, and what the process is to help them develop, I noticed that people were especially interested in that. And I figured, let's have these three guys in, let's have three representative companies that were funded by Y Combinator to talk about the experience and to help me understand what some of this magic is. And so I'll introduce the three founders one at a time. The first is let's start with you, Howie Liu. You are the founder of eTax. Sure. What is eTax?
So eTax is personal CRM. It's a web app that helps you keep track of all the people that you care about, make sure that you stay in touch with all of them.
Okay, and as I said before, it's something that I shouldn't keep saying as I said before. The people who are listening to us on recording do not have an understanding of what I said before and don't care. So I'll just say that it works with Gmail. It works right now with Firefox. It plugs into there. So it's embedded into a large part of our lives, and it's going to be easier as it gets embedded to more apps that we currently use. Is that right?
Yeah, so it fetches actually stuff on the back end through, you know, the IMAP protocol, so it pulls in your emails from Gmail and as well as your phone calls from AT&T and Verizon support is coming. There also is a Firefox extension and a Chrome extension.
Oh, wow, I didn't realize that. So if I hadn't called someone in a long time, you'll know that too and prod me to make a phone call and reconnect with them.
Right, exactly.
Wow. Okay, so three of us are on video. One of us is not. We only have the audio for Sachin Agarwal. He is the co-founder of Posterous. And what is Posterous?
So Posterous.
I did it again, and Cover Cash in the audience said, dope. Posterous, excuse me, Posterous. I know that it's the way to pronounce it, and I keep saying it in my head the wrong way. So Posterous, what is Posterous? And I'm sorry.
Either way is right. It's preposterously easy. Think of it that way. So it's the dead simple way to post anything online. So you can publish photos, video, audio, simply by sending an email to post@posterous.com, and it creates a personal website for you.
Okay, and I actually have an account with you guys. That's what I use for my personal blog, and it was really easy for me to map my own subdomain to a Posterous account. It's stuff.andrewwarner.com, and it's powered by you guys, and it's so dead easy. Anytime I have a picture, I send it into the blog. Anytime I have a thought, I can blog it right away, no matter what device I have at hand. And Ahmad Akund, he is the guy who helped me organize this, and thank you for doing that. And he's also the co-founder of HeyZap. What is HeyZap?
HeyZap basically lets you, as a game developer, add tools inside your game like analytics, virtual goods, and social tools. And also, we distribute games. So, if you want to add any games to your blog or your website, you can kind of go through us.
Okay. Howie, you guys, and I should say, as I said before, very addictive games. You start playing these games just out of curiosity or because it happens to be on TechCrunch, and you find yourself getting so deeply sucked into the game that you can't go back to work, which is also good for publishers who embed these games on their websites to increase engagement and also to bring in some revenue because you guys are a revenue generator for sites, right?
Exactly.
Okay.
Yep.
Howie, You're still at Y Combinator. What did you come into Y Combinator with when you went to the application process? What did you have? Did you have a business? Did you have an idea? Did you have something else, somewhere in between?
Sure. My co-founder, Evan Beard, and I had both just done a couple of other different little web startups. We were both coders, so we came in and basically didn't have anything for a current idea, but had just listed stuff that we had done to show that we were good programmers. After we got the interview, so there's two steps to the process. You apply, and then if you get past that stage, you get an in-person interview. When we found out that we got that, we had basically 2 weeks, maybe a little less, to build an actual prototype. So we spent all that time building a working prototype that pulled in your emails, pulled in your phone calls, and showed up with that. So that's basically what we had.
Wow, incredible that you could put together something like that in a matter of days. The people on Y Combinator, every time they see a new website, they say, "I could put that together in a matter of days." I guess it's possible. But let me ask you this. In order to get the opportunity to put something together in a matter of days and present it in person to Y Combinator, what did you have to show them on the application? You said that you did some work before. What kind of work did you do that so impressed them that they said, "We want to get this guy into our office to meet him?"
I don't know if we really impressed them, but I think we both had a couple of different apps that we had built that showed some level of technical competency. So I had built this Twitter client that would basically offer a lot of the features that Gmail did. So there was a lot of sort of heavy JavaScript on there, a lot of rich UI stuff. My co-founder Evan had built this funny iPhone app where it was called Girlfriend Keeper, and basically it would send emails and texts to your girlfriend if you hadn't talked to her for a while. And that got some great press coverage, like Good Morning America, stuff like that. So I think they like to see people who have really put stuff out there, gotten some users, and gotten some like press and stuff.
Why did you put that together? Did you put it together because you thought it was going to be a business, or was the idea to just fiddle around, or were you trying to impress the guys at Y Combinator at some point in the future?
Sure. So, I think I wasn't explicitly trying to do stuff to impress Y Combinator at the time. I think it was a little part, sort of, just any programmer usually has this itch to just build stuff and have pet projects. So that was part of it. And then also I thought there was a business, going back to that, I think there would have been something in the ability to aggregate all the social media and then sort of filter through it to find stuff that's relevant to you.
Okay, Sachin with Posterous, which is, sorry, Posterous, preposterously, Posterous. Can you guys,
And I'm gonna interrupt and also tell you about my name pronunciation, Sachin.
Sachin, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
All right, Sachin,
It's
Sachin.
okay.
How am I ever gonna become a professional broadcaster here if I can't even pronounce basic names here? I would end up getting an interview with the head of state from some impressive state that's going to war with the US but is willing to sit down with me as a way of
Sorry,
communicating with
the
the,
audio is cutting out
sorry, as a way
on
of
how
communicating with the
complicated
American
it is.
audience. I'll mispronounce his name and send us into war. Sorry about that. So what did you walk into the Y Combinator application process with? And I hope we still have him connected. Sachin, why don't we wait to see if we can reconnect with him? And in the meantime, I'll ask Imad, when you were applying, what did you have?
So yeah, I've actually been part of Y Combinator in one shape or form for about 2.5 years now. So my previous startup was called ClickPass, which also did Y Combinator. The second time around with HeyZap, it was much more of like a obviously a personal relationship because I knew Paul Graham and Jessica fairly well. So it was really the case where the day after I left ClickPass, we kind of drove down to Mountain View, and it was with Jude, my co-founder, and I, and we kind of sat on the curb with them and kind of talked a bit about the idea. And at that moment, our idea was slightly different. It was more making like collaborative filtering algorithms around games to help you find like games which you like the best. So we went there and we.
So,
Oh, sorry.
Touching back.
Yeah, just one second. Mad is talking, and then I'll jump back into you and pick up where we left off. But I can see that your audio is back up. Sorry, Mad. What was the business before? What was the original idea?
So the original idea was more around making like collaborative filtering algorithms for games. So make like if you like game X, then you also like game Y kind of thing, which we've done a bit of, though we haven't gone like that deep into that. We ended up kind of focusing more on just distributing games. because we thought there was more of kind of a pain point there. So yeah, so we sat on the curb and, you know, we kind of told PG, like, this is the idea. And he was like, oh, you know, I don't really, yeah, I don't play games that much, but I like you guys, so yeah, join us kind of thing. And this was actually earlier than most people as well, so it was in September or October, early October kind of, which is what, whereas the YC program was starting in January.
Sachin, can you hear us now? Is it all caught up?
I believe so. I can hear you
Oh,
now.
great. So what about you? What did you apply with? What was the original idea?
So my co-founder Gary and I, we've been talking about something along the lines of Postures for quite a while. We were really interested in the personal publishing space. And when we finally decided to do something about it and build this thing, we applied to Y Combinator and worked on a prototype for the interview. Worked day and night to get something
What did that first prototype
possible.
look like?
It's pretty bare bones. It was literally just like send an email and whatever images were in that email we'd put on a website. And it's like really just showing the basic sort of flow of something that's just so easy to use and that like sort of wows you. It's like, oh, okay, I get it. I understand.
Okay, and I hope we didn't lose you. Let me, can you hear us back? Can you hear us again? I mean, I guess we broke.
Yes, I
Oh,
can hear
good.
you.
What's the breakdown between you and Gary? What are the responsibilities?
Initially, we're definitely both programmers and we're both hacking away like all the time. Gary's the designer, so he's been doing all the visual design, graphic design, interaction design. He's amazing at that. And then I take over most of like the sort of non-tech stuff now, like all the business aspect, legal, HR, payroll, all that sort of stuff then.
Okay. Imad, you already had a company. You already built a business. You knew what it was like. Why did you need Y Combinator a second time?
I mean, a lot of this stuff isn't about need, right? It's like you're kind of trying to align your probabilities to maximize the chances of doing well. So overall, I mean, all the reasons that kind of I wanted to do Y Combinator the first time pretty much applied the second time. I actually decided to write a list of reasons down. Do you want me to go through them?
Actually, you know what? Yeah. How long is the list?
Yeah. Not that
Why
long.
don't you?
It's five so
Oh, go
far.
for it. Yeah, I'm really curious about it because you know what? If it's money, your track record should have helped you get funding. If it's experience, I would have thought that you could have found or advisors. I would have thought that you could have found advisors based on the connections that you'd made. But I'm curious about what's on that list.
But I mean, one of the biggest, like personally for me, one of the biggest kind of long-term thing is the YC Alumni Network, which you could say I would have got anyway because it's the second time. But the benefits you get from like basically I think there's hundreds, actually that's 170 startups, so more like 300 plus kind of founders who've seen it at various stages. Yeah, every time I'm doing something new, like getting like VC funding or hiring new people, the first people I turn to are like friends I've made through the YC Alumni Network. So it's been great for that. Also intros to, if I want to get in touch with someone, important, and someone in YC probably has a good intro. If it's not Paul Graham, it'll be someone else. So that's one. Another factor is kind of credibility. So both when it comes to press, investors, doing business deals, like a lot of what we do at HazeApp is, involves talking to game developers and publishers, and getting kind of relationships going with them. So going as like, oh, we're a Y Combinator company, everyone respects Y Combinator, and they know like, good stuff comes out of there. So all of that helps with the brand. Let's see, what else did I have? There's a nice structure to Y Combinator. I mean, again, this is something we could have achieved ourselves, obviously, but the way Y Combinator is structured is like 3 months. It's intense. You kind of very, very driven to like get the first iteration out and focus on it, and then at the end, it's demo day, where you're introduced to kind of 200 plus investors. I think that structure is like maybe accidentally come upon, but it's really good in terms of coming up, like making sure that everyone is releasing stuff and like introducing them to investors at hopefully the right stage for their company. And the last thing I had was, again, I guess something that I'd learned already the first time, but one thing that like Y Combinator is very good with is like kind of positioning your product in a way that like it, you know, it positions you in a big market, and it's like the right kind of way to enter the market, or at least it tries to be, and also kind of presenting that positioning and presenting your startup in the best light to investors, which is like fairly hard to do if you're in the mentality of like always like making stuff, you're not necessarily used to presenting it in the right way.
Howie, why?
Those are the main things I had.
Thanks. I always thought that it was just a one-time thing, that you go to Y Combinator the first time when you don't have much money. A lot of the guys who I've interviewed here who've gone through the program said they really needed the thousands of dollars. It doesn't sound like a lot of money to get, what is it, $10,000, maybe $20,000. It doesn't sound like a lot to me when I hear it, but they're saying, no, they needed the money, and it was significant to them and the connections. But I didn't realize that second time around that that'd be helpful too. Howie, why YC? Why not any of the clones out there? Why didn't you pick someone else who was up and coming?
Sure. So I think, first of all, the clones weren't even really an option that we considered. It was either YC or either, you know, just try to go and bootstrap it, or try to raise a sort of typical seed round from angels. So the last thing is something that you can only do if you know a lot of people, if you're sort of networked and connected in the Valley. And even then, it's pretty hard to do at a really early stage. So YC is sort of a unique program in that it's the only thing where you can come in with really just nothing but an idea and like having a really great technical background and get funding, you know, other than if you have a really, really strong network of investors. That being said, I think there are some, somebody just mentioned Techstars. I think there are some good clones out there, but YC just has a stronger network, which is part of the benefit of it. And, you know, they bring in all these speakers and investors and all these people that really are just unparalleled compared to everything else. And for us, you know, really what swinged us towards Y Combinator instead of like trying to raise a typical round was just that everybody that I talked to, including Ahmad and a bunch of other founders who have done really well, just raved about YC. So I figured, you know, statistically, if you're talking to 10 different founders and they all, you know, had a great experience and were glad that they did it, you know, they can't be all wrong.
Did you know Ahmad before this, or did you just hit him up for information when you were thinking of applying?
So I think I knew him not too long before I applied to Y Combinator, but, you know, at least for a few months, I guess not explicitly to get help for applying to YC, but just, you know, learning more about his startup. The startup scene in San Francisco is pretty small in general, so just had some.
I see. Sachin, your product seems really basic, and what I'm wondering is, how did it evolve? How did it improve in YC?
Well, basically, and our goal for the product is to be really powerful, but to appear basic on the outside. So we want people to come in and use it, and you know, for to not be confusing for people. So through YC, we're sort of like swinging this balance of adding features and developing, but to continue to keep it very simple. And I think that's where, you know, this alumni network is really great. It's like we could bounce ideas off of people. Like when we're at YC, when we go to the dinners, we could show people what we're working on and how it looks and get feedback from people. So that really helped us.
Do you have a specific example of how the product changed because of one of those interactions? Like, I'll tell you that the WooFoo people, I interviewed Kevin, the founder of WooFoo, and he said that his whole perspective changed in that first meeting when he was applying, when they were evaluating whether they wanted to have him in Y Combinator. They just opened his eyes to a market that he hadn't realized, the forms market. What about you? Do you have any examples?
I can't think of anything off the top of my head, but I mean, I know like in our batch, there were just some really, really incredible designers. And so it was just awesome to be able to like sit there at our, you know, weekly dinners and show people stuff and get their feedback and, you know, to get a good feedback from like product people. And that's what, you know, I think Y Combinator has a lot of great.
What about the way that you explain what the product is on the homepage? How, who helped you come up with that?
That's actually huge. That was a lot of Paul Graham. He was, you know, in our homepage for constantly, iterating every word, every, how do we get this message across to people and get them to understand what we're trying to build? And he helped us immensely.
See, he told us here on Mixergy that that was something that he's passionate about, and that he wants to, that he, I think his quote was the, I can't do it justice, but it was, the person who you're trying to convince is the person who has his finger on the mouse and is on his way off your site. And you have to, in the few seconds that you have him there, explain what your product does, and that's something that he helps companies with. Imad, you mentioned Jessica Livingston. What's her role in all of this? How does she, what was her role in picking you, and what's her role in helping shape your product?
Good question. She's I don't like it's hard to like say she on an active level, like on a product level, she doesn't normally kind of take part that much. But she's obviously involved in like as PG was saying, kind of judging characters and things like that. So like I've always had a kind of very she's amazingly friendly if you ever meet her. So and she's like always makes everyone kind of feel at home in YC and be comfortable. So yeah, in terms of an active product role, she doesn't. Well, at least with us, she didn't take that much.
Okay. Howie, what's the magic here? You're in the program. This is a program that takes guys who have a lot of ambition and brains and helps them put something together within months. How do they do it? I mean, I don't want to come across here with this program as just revering them empty without much substance. I want to really understand what's some of this magic so that someone who has no interest in Y Combinator or just building a business on their own can take some of it and apply it.
So I think different people get different things out of Y Combinator. I think I don't know if this was before we started recording, but Imad had mentioned his sort of takeaways from YC, and I think we have a different set of takeaways. We personally meet with Paul Graham maybe once every week, once every 2 weeks. And he really just spends a lot of time hands-on helping us with the actual product, the user interface, wording on the on the website. So that alone has been like just countless hours of his time, like free labor for us, basically, that of somebody really smart who really understands these products to help us out. And that I think has been instrumental in sort of making our product a lot simpler, so that when we launched on TechCrunch earlier this week, it was a lot more favorable than it might have been if the product was super confusing. I think other people get, the network, the connections. For instance, we've been having some trouble with Google servers, so the ability to get a connection to Paul Boukat, who invented Gmail, and interface through him to the Gmail team is really helpful. So all these things where it's just sort of, whenever you're looking for something, you just have this confidence that YC will be able to deliver most of them.
Sachin, how did you get the first users at Posterous?
It was thanks to our launch on TechCrunch. So that, is another big value add for Y Combinator is that, when you're working on your product and you're ready to launch it, Paul Graham will talk to Mike Larrington and say, hey, these guys are ready to launch your product. Would you like to write about him? And so, Arrington called me, wrote our review, and that's really what got us started. And it was really.
And so you actually were able to get users off of that. I've heard from a lot of people that being on TechCrunch is great for raising your profile, good for getting investors interested, but not necessarily helpful in getting users. How many users did you get from that post, roughly?
Yeah, we actually did get users. So I mean, I don't remember. I think maybe 15 or 20,000, right off the bat from that initial. And just given the nature of our product, people are creating their personal websites and then they're telling their friends to go visit them, of course. And so a lot of like word of mouth, just started from that.
And I think even Michael Arrington created an account with you guys and started blogging right after that post, or maybe just before it.
Yeah, so he started at techcrunch.posters.com, and that's his personal posters site, and he still posts to it today, so it's really awesome to see.
Yeah, actually, a lot of the big names are using your software. Scoble is a big fan of yours. I discovered you through Jason Calacanis, who just kept linking over from his Twitter account. What about virality? How did you come across all these different tools for bringing people back to the site?
I mean, that's one of the things we're really focusing on this year. I mean, so one thing that we've been doing since our launch is auto post, and so whenever you post to Postgres,
We lost the connection there.
we'll update your Twitter and FaceHuff. So that makes it viral because it'll notify your communities and get them coming back.
That's actually been there for a while, no? As soon as you post,
wait, can you
as
hear
soon
me?
as you put up a new post, it automatically gets tweeted out and goes to Facebook and goes a million different places that you pick. Wasn't that always there?
Yeah, so that one's always been there, and that's really important to us because, you know, we sort of think that you have all these communities and all these different places, but ultimately you want to drive them to your own personal destination. So one of the new things that we just launched about a month ago is email subscriptions. So you can actually just go to your own site settings page and bribe all your friends and family by entering their email addresses, you know, import your Gmail address book or whatever. And so, you know, now whenever I post, my mom, my aunt, my uncle, they'll all get an email with that post in it. And so, you know, the way we look at it is like, you know, you can notify your Twitter followers and your Facebook friends, and that's all great, but those are always just subsets of your, you know, address book, your email list. And so that's where we, you know, we focus on email not just for posting, but even for notifications and.
Howie, how many people did you get after that TechCrunch article? And that's the way that I discovered you. That's the way that I'm imagining a lot of people first heard that you launched.
Sure. So we didn't get nearly as many as Postgres did. We, I think, got about 2,000 signups right away. Our app is a little different. It's it requires people to give up their Gmail passwords, and then you know, we're going to start charging for a premium version of it in the future. But you know, we're still really happy with that, and you know, out there.
You know, I don't know your product as well because it's new. And so I still have a few questions. I don't want to dive too deeply into my questions about the product itself, but I got to ask you about security. You and I are friends. Let's say we become enemies. You say,
sure.
God, man, that Andrew recorded me doing 10 minutes of the interview, then recorded a whole other interview on top of it. I'm sick of this
yep.
guy. I'm going to go and find out what his password is to his bank account. I'm going to take the money that I think he owes me for the time that I spent here, and he's never going to figure it out. Is there a possibility that you can go into my account that way?
So, I mean, we take privacy and security really, really seriously. First of all, your passwords are encrypted in our database. Second of all, as soon as you want to delete your account, you can just go into your account on etax.com and delete it, and everything is instantly wiped. It's gone forever. Beyond that, you know, we use SSL encryption over the entire site. And also, we never store the email bodies of your email. So when we fetch them, we're basically only pulling the email headers, which show us who you've emailed, when you emailed them, and what the subject line of that email is, just so you can have this log of all these email subjects and who you've talked
to.
Oh,
I didn't realize that. All right, that puts me at ease. And I know, actually, because you're not just two guys in a bedroom with an idea and a website, because you've got backers and because you're in this community and you've got people whose reputations are on the line, that I can trust that, where I wouldn't necessarily be able to trust it with someone else. Ahmad, have you started using eTax yet?
Sure, yeah, I think.
I don't want to put you on the spot here, but have you?
I did start using it, but like I really need the Firefox add-on to work, and I use Send and Archive, which kind of has a collision with Send and Remind. So
yeah,
how he's going to fix that
on.
For me?
I mean, this is a baby of a website, a baby of a product here. We're talking a few days after it launched. I don't even know if it's been a week, actually. Yeah, actually, didn't you launch on Wednesday and today's Friday?
I think we launched on Monday.
Okay.
Yep.
Ahmad, how do you get people to, how do you get new customers, new users?
Yeah. For us, actually, it's mainly kind of old school B2B in some ways, because we talk to a lot of game developers and a lot of websites. So we actually have right now we have a sales team of four, with me kind of spending like 30% of my time on it as well. So they obviously talk to the kind of the bigger clients. We also use kind of various like techniques, like you know, mailing lists, like newsletters, things like that. So when we launch new stuff, we're able to kind of tell as many game developers as possible. So yeah, for us it's been kind of a different kind of strategies, because it's not just going straight to consumer. But when we did launch, actually, it was, you know, TechCrunch is one of the places where, you know, a lot of web publishers that run websites do read TechCrunch, and every time we've run something on the tech blog like TechCrunch or VentureBeat, we've had a few incoming leads, and it's also helped like our existing leads kind of ferment into actual kind of deals.
I see. And how old's the business now? I think you said it started in early 09, right?
Yeah, but I mean, we launched in January 15, so we did a recently we did a first year anniversary.
Okay. And did you get another round of funding after that initial investment?
Yep, we took Union Square Ventures. It was about a month after Demo Day, really. So April 2009. So Union Square Ventures and also Hitforge, Naval Ravikant, and a couple of other angels.
Okay. Sachin, somebody in the audience here, Mark, I guess, Mark Hall, said that the applications for YC are coming up. March 3rd is the deadline for the next session. Do you have some advice for somebody who's sitting over that application and trying to find a way to get in so that he could build a business like you have?
I mean, I think one of the best things to do is to, build out as much of whatever your idea is. I think, there's this big difference of people who can talk the talk and people who can actually build. And YC is all about building. It's about like hackers. So, if you can, you put a URL to your application, to your product in the application. If you have something running, that's great. If you don't, maybe share some other stuff that you've built. But it really will set you apart to be like, I don't just write. I can actually build stuff and look at the stuff that I already have. That's a lot.
I see. And I've actually heard that people who start off by creating their company, by having customers, by having users before they get in YC, excuse me, have an advantage over those who just have an idea or maybe have spent a couple of weeks building them in preparation for showing the for showing the guys at Y Combinator and getting in. What do you think of that, Ahmad?
Yeah, I think that's getting the timings right is fairly important. So basically, Demo Day happens like 3 months in. So if you start in January, it happens in March, and it's fairly if you're gonna you know if you're actually gonna start working in January, it's fairly hard to get to March and have a product which has traction and users and like you can really have a good story to tell investors. So we actually started working like 3 months before January, pretty much like full time, 100% on it, and we launched, as I said, in January 15, so like in the second week of Y Combinator, and that meant when we got to Demo Day, we had a we had some good graphs to show people, had like had iterated at least once, and it just it was really valuable to do that.
Howie, what's the point? What's the point? What are you trying to do with this business? You're now at the early stage where you can look at it as if it's a baby and it could grow up to be anything. What's your vision here? You're hoping it grows up to be a business that you run for the rest of your life? Are you already starting to think about selling it? Do you have a vision for the revenues? Where do you see it?
Yeah, so I'll answer the last two first. In terms of revenues, we do have an immediate plan to start offering premium or paid plans. So it's a freemium model. Basically, you come in, you can get a free version. And then for business users, people are really serious about maintaining all these relationships, keeping track of all their contacts. There's going to be a paid version. We haven't decided exactly how much that's going to cost. The second part of that is, my personal philosophy is that I don't want to build a company with the explicit intention of selling it. I would never want to go into a startup that I wouldn't love to run for, the next 5, 10 years, however long it takes, if it has the potential to be, a huge sort of, billion-dollar company. The potential, I'm not saying it will be, but I think something that we really thought about when we chose this idea was that it seems to have the opportunity for, this huge, huge multi-billion-dollar market, both in the CRM industry as well as, there's this whole new industry of like revolutionizing email and communications around people, just really reinventing email, email overload and that sort of thing. So I think both of those plays are pretty big, and so we're excited still about, going into that and sticking with it for a while.
By the way, someone as we were talking was saying, Andrew looks like he's looking away. Actually, they said I look like I'm looking at porn while you guys are talking. The issue is, usually I know with Skype, which is the way I usually do my interviews, put the Skype box right underneath the camera. Now I've got three different screens to look at and the chat, so I'm not looking directly at you people here in the camera, but really I'm looking at the guests here and I'm not disconnected, I swear. It takes a lot of focus to mispronounce all these names, my friends. Sachin, why no paid version of your site? Why isn't there a premium the way that Howie's got on eTax?
It's definitely something that's in the works. Basically, we launched our product, as soon as we could, and we're just adding features like crazy to make it, a little bit more mature and a little bit more out. And we're getting close to that point. And I think once we have that and it's, fully an end-to-end publishing solution, then we're going to roll out our pro, target that at the pro blogger.
Why'd you decide to give up revenue for now as you were building up the community? How do you even decide? You've got same investment parents essentially here. One child goes up and starts charging from the beginning. Another decides to wait and build up the audience. How did you make that decision? Why don't I start with you, Sachin, excuse me.
It's a really hard decision to make, and I think that in our space, it's very competitive. There's a lot of alternatives out there, and so we know that we're the best product, we're the highest quality product out there to do all these things, and we just want to get the distribution to start out. We want to become a household name, and we're going to reach a bigger audience by being free and getting.
I saw, by the way, that I went to Holy Cow, spelled kind of funky, but it's Guy Kawasaki's blog. Thing looks beautiful. He's pumping out content nonstop, and he has lots of other people who are pumping out this fun content that just grabs your attention in the middle of the day. Again, kind of like Haze App, while you're trying to work, you can't help but get distracted by it. I look down because I want to see what he's using to post all this stuff. He's using Posterous. But it's not the same Posterous that I'm using, is it? Have you given Guy Kawasaki a new version of that's coming down the pike for the rest of us?
It is actually just Posterous out of the box. I think we tweaked a couple of tiny things for him, but it really is just Posterous, that's been customized. And that's one of the interesting things about Posterous is people come to the site and they might think it's just a microblog or something, but really you can take it to any level that you want through, different settings and
How
customizations.
do you spell his web domain? I want to make sure that people get to go check out what's possible with this. Do you?
It is so it's Holy Cow as in HOLYKAW.
I see it there. Somebody in the chat has it too, .com. It's a really cool site. I love what he's doing with you guys. Imad, what's next for you? What do you think? We can't really predict it, but we do have a vision of where we're going. What's your vision with this business?
I guess in some ways mimicking Howie, I can see, I do want to see Haze App serving, a significant portion of all the games on the internet, and I think we can do that with our current kind of vision and the team we have here. So we have like 9 people, so a bit more mature, I guess. So on a personal level, I've been doing startups for like 3 years, and I want to kind of continue doing that and being in the ecosystem. Haze App's got a really long way to go. Both Jude and I and the rest of the team have like a ton of ideas, and like Posterous, we try to continually build things and improve the product. So, long way to go.
I talked to Mark Suster at one of my events, and he's the venture capitalist with GRP, and I said, "What are you looking for when someone comes to you for funding?" And he gave me a list of things, but one of them was, I want to know that he knows who he's going to sell the business to. And I talked to Paul Graham, and he doesn't seem nearly as interested in who the business is going to get sold to. Wufoo told me that they don't have any interest in selling. They're just producing their product, they're improving it, they're bringing in sales, they're profitable from the first year. Do you feel any of that direction coming from Y Combinator about where the business needs to go in the end? How it's going to make its money or cash out for its investment? What do you think, Ahmad? Sorry, I didn't address it to anyone. I'm looking right at you, but it's such an artificial environment to talk to somebody over the internet like this that it's hard for you to tell where I'm looking. For all you know, or somebody here online knows, I'm looking at porn. But no, I'm looking directly at you, Ahmad. What do you think? What are you feeling in there?
So it's actually one of the application questions for YC is like, who do you think you could sell the business to? So it's not completely true that PG and the rest of YC are completely not thinking about it. But it is, I think it is the case that when your startup is so young, it's hard to frame, like, you know, if you start thinking about acquisition, like, you can't build something for someone else, like, you have to build it because it's going to be a real business. And then obviously, like, I don't know, like, probably six or so YC companies have sold so far. So it's definitely something that happens, and, like, there's lots of kind of advice out there for it. I think the part of the differences between Mark and PG is that obviously Mark's used to doing VC funded deals, and at that point, like, you re they really have to see for the, you know, for the LPs, etc., they have to see a direct path to exit, so that their fund can come to, like, fruition. Whereas from YC's perspective, it's so young and the money going into, like, individual startups is relatively small that, you know, if one of the startups don't necessarily want to sell, like, just want to go lifestyle, you know, they're willing to support that.
I want to be fair here with the time with everyone. Why don't we do this? Howie, if somebody wants to get advice from you, how much time do you have to give them? If somebody says, "I want to get funded, maybe it's Y Combinator, maybe it's someone else, I just need a little bit of help here," do you even have the time considering how many hours you're putting in?
Sure. I think, you know, for the next couple weeks, things are pretty crazy for us, definitely. But I'm always happy to, you know, try to get things, try to get through emails and reply and, you know, help out people, because I got a lot of help when I was sort of going through the YC application process. So they can feel free to email me at my email address, howietl@gmail.com. That's my personal email. And yeah, just feel free to send me whatever. If I don't respond in time, it's just because things are crazy and we're fixing bugs or
Okay,
whatever.
cool. Sachin, what about you? And I'd especially like to urge women to be a part of these programs, to be as part of this one specifically if possible, because I'm not getting enough female entrepreneurs to interview here on Mixergy. Part of it is my own fault that I'm not looking properly. You know, I can't blame the world if my results aren't what they need to be, but part of it, I think, is a realization that there aren't enough women internet entrepreneurs. And so how open are you in general? And if a female entrepreneur emails me and says, "I need some help finding out how to get into Y Combinator," can I introduce her to you, or are things so hectic now that you don't have time? Sachin.
No, I mean, we always make time to talk to, you know, other YC companies, people who are thinking about YC. You know, it's definitely, you know, giving back into the ecosystem because we were there in their shoes before, trying to figure out if this is the right fit, what's the program like, how does it work, and so, you know, that's very important to us to make time. Yeah, we're
What's a
happy
good
to
way
talk
for
to
people
people.
to connect with you?
You know, definitely email me, sachin@postures.com. But you know, generally, after an initial email, we prefer to talk on the phone or grab a cup of coffee. It's just a lot more efficient than.
Wow. And you're in Northern California, right?
Yeah, we're in San
Okay.
Francisco.
Mod, first of all, thank you for helping me put this all together and for being there and for introducing me around. You've been such a good friend on this. For anyone else who wants to meet you, what's a good way for them to connect with you?
Yeah, Imad, the Haze app works fine. You know, I think all the YC founders have a special place in their heart for YC. So we're always willing to help out anyone else thinking of applying or anything like that. And yeah, I'm always looking to help entrepreneurs in general anyway. So if I can help in any way, just
What
feel
about
free to
if they
email me.
slammed you on Hacker News and you remember their name and you even looked up their profile and saw their website and then they come in and they ask you for help? Are you willing at that point to help out?
Sure. I mean, I don't. I would. I really don't, like, remember anyone who ever slams us. So it's most likely that you'll get under that radar.
Yeah, you know what? I got to say the same thing for me. I did this call. Somebody wanted help from me, and I offered to get on the phone with him. And get on the phone. The first thing he says is, "Andrew, I have to be honest. You know that comment about you on Hacker News? Well, that was me." I said, "All right. I didn't. You could have gotten away with not telling me, but now that you did, it doesn't really influence me that much. I'm cool with it. Except for you, HN here in the chat room. You've just been bugging me this whole time. Tell me who you are so that I avoid all your phone calls." All right, well, thank you all three of you for coming in here and doing this interview, doing it twice at least since we had a little technical trouble. We didn't do the whole interview, we did about 5, 10 minutes of it. And Imad and Howie, thank you for coming in a second time since we tried to do this earlier in the week. You guys, really, I'm feeling, I'm not a part of Y Combinator at all. I just happened to interview Alexis Ohanian a while back, and I pushed and grilled him to make sure this was real. And he said, yeah, this is really the people who invested in my company. And I said, all right, let me investigate a little bit more. And all the people in the program have been so freaking great to me that I hope to have an opportunity to repay each one of you and even strangers who are associated with you, just because I feel such a sense of gratitude. So I'll say thank you to the three of you for coming on here and extend that to everyone beyond. Anyone who's listening, thank you for watching and listening, and give me feedback on this new format. And thank you, Tiny Chat, for letting us use this system. It's been great. Thank you all. Bye.